Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. Today, I am speaking with Jake Highmark. He is the CEO of Plus Products. Stock symbol is PLUS in the Canadian exchange and PLPRF over the counter. Jake, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jake, your company is in the cannabis edible space. And a few days ago, you announced some really impressive revenue growth, up almost 700% from the prior year. So, can you walk us kind of through those numbers? You know, what's driving the growth? What is your business all about?
Sure. So Plus is a edibles manufacturing company. We're based in California, and we have the top products in California, not just by edibles, but in vapes, tinctures, flower, and all the other categories in cannabis. We actually have the top selling SKUs. About a year ago, we were about 15th in the edibles market. And what has really been our focus at Plus is what we call being product focused first. We are extremely focused on delivering really high quality, low dose, convenient, better for you products that customers love and not only purchase once, but come back and purchase again. And that helped us grow from about 12th in the market to one of the top ones in the market over the course of last year. And what was really interesting in 2018 was that the California market, which is the largest cannabis market in the world, was expected to grow significantly in the first year of recreational legalization. And what ended up happening was the entire market actually shrank. And one of the reasons why is the regulatory enforcement and the high taxation rate made people go to the black market. But even in that market, Plus grew, you know, more than 700%. We ended with revenues of about $3.5 million in Q4 last year, which is significant growth over about 8 times less than that a year before. So we're really, really happy, and we look forward to hopefully continued growth this year as well.
Okay, and the products you make, they look like are they candies? They're gummies? They're like anybody who's listening to the audio, they can't see, but on our site we have an image of the product. It's like a beautiful looking product.
Yeah, thank you. I recommend people go to plusproducts.com where we have all of our different products. What we actually started with was our gum, a gum company. We're actually a gum company at first, and we created a low dose, fast acting gum that absorbs in your mouth, not in your stomach. And we created that product about 3.5 years ago, and we launched it in the medical cannabis market here in California. And it has all these attributes that are really attractive to a lot of people. And a lot of people are selling today, and guess what? That thing just failed, just right on its butt. And I think the reason why is as people are getting familiar with cannabis, going to new categories, whether that's beverages, gum, or new things that they're not used to yet, it's a little bit scary. So we actually pivoted the company back toward gummies first because it was a category that people understood and realized there was still an opportunity to make a better looking, better tasting, better for you gummy with a really consistent dosage and a small form factor. And so we launched that about 2 years ago. And that's the majority of what we make today is gummies, although we actually just are starting to put tests out of mints in the market as well. So that's our next product category we've been working on.
So these basically look like candies, essentially.
Yeah, they're cube-shaped gummies. So yeah, they're close to we call them adult candies.
They look fun to eat. So and they give you what? They give you the cannabis dosage, basically.
Exactly. I think what's really important to understand in cannabis branded products is that it's part functional and part food as well. And you actually have to marry both of those together. A lot of companies will focus just on the functional piece or just on the food piece, and you have to get both that art of making really great food and that science of making it work the exact same every time. You have to marry those two things together, and that's what we've really focused on at Plus.
Okay, and can you kind of give us an overview of the product portfolio, and what are some of the hot sellers right now that you have?
Sure. So we only make today, we only have gummies. We only have four different kinds of them. And then we actually have a fifth, which is a rotational. But where Plus is a little bit different than other companies is that instead of having a really large product portfolio, and some companies will have 150 different products, we focused on what a lot of really large and great consumer product good companies have done, which is having a few products that people buy over and over and over and really fall in love with, whether that's Coca-Cola or Sprite or a myriad of CPG products. We think having fewer is better. So our top-selling product, which is the top-selling product in the whole state of California across everything, is Uplift, which is a sour watermelon sativa product that has 100 milligrams of THC in a tin and 5 milligrams per gummy. We also have a Restore product, which is the number two seller in the state, that's an indica type product. So it's a little bit more, puts, you know, more of a relaxed, unwind edge on your day. We have a Create product, which is really designed to help you think and be creative and paint. And then we have a Relief product. And that's a very CBD heavy product that really helps people may have joint pain or backaches. It's a great product for that. And then in addition to those, we actually run really fun seasonals as well and limited editions. So for example, last year during Pride Month, we ran a rainbow sorbet, and we've been running a pink lemonade, which we call Refresh, as well this year, that sort of let us play and have fun on the edges while still keeping that core product portfolio the same.
So, you know, you mentioned that right now you're, you know, some of the top-selling products in California. What, you know, like, what is it that differentiates you? I mean, there's a bunch of, I think you mentioned earlier, there's a, you know, huge number of products out there. So what is it that, you know, really differentiates, you know, your brand and your products in the market for consumers?
So what we focused on is really, really consistent experiences that are really great. We've done that by having a very narrow product portfolio. So there are more than 20,000 different types of products sold last year in California, according to BDS Analytics, and Plus had the number one and number two products, and with a significant gap over number three. And the reason why customers keep coming back to our product is because the experience is really dialed in. There's a lot of different things that go on in cannabis. You know, if you take alcohol, as for example, there's one alcohol molecule. It's the same molecule in wine that it is in vodka and tequila. And people know that wine and tequila have very different effects because of the other things that are along for the ride. In cannabis, you have 25 or even more compounds that are along for the ride in what's being included. And by really tuning that stuff consistently, our customers have found that they have consistent expectations and they really just like the experience and keep coming back for the ones that work for them. And so that's by dialing in that science piece, we've really sort of opened a gap between us and the competition.
Okay. So right now, what markets are you in and you know, what's the potential for expansion?
So today we're in the California market only, and we think that every company that wants to be a consumer packaged good company with a brand in cannabis has to start in California. And the reason you have to start in California is because it's the biggest market in the world. It's also been legal here for more than 20 years on the medical side, which means that they're very strong products and brands and very demanding customers. If you can't win here, then you're going to have a difficult time winning in the long run because California is the major leagues. Then the question is, there are two levers for expansion. One is new product categories, which of course we're entering in California, and the other is going to new markets. We've been looking at all over the U.S. and internationally as well, and these markets are starting to develop, although they're very early. Canada is an exciting one. Nevada is a really exciting one. Michigan, Massachusetts are looking exciting as well. And what's different, I think, about Plus and the way that we approach all these different jurisdictions is that we want to control the manufacturing. We're not looking to own the buildings, but there are a lot of people who have buildings with extra space, and they really just don't know how to make a really consistent, high-quality product that they can place all over the state and know it's going to be successful on the food side. It's high capital expenditure, a lot of knowledge, and it's complicated to make the SOPs, and the returns aren't as good as flour is in the short run. And so that provides an advantage to a company like ours to deploy our people inside of other people's facilities to actually create the consistent product. Because there are companies who sign licensing agreements from one state to another, but in Colorado, it will look one way, smell one way, taste one way, work one way. And in Nevada, it'll work completely differently. And that's not really a consistent brand experience then for any customer who goes to both places.
Okay. Now you did, looks like what, I think you said 10, roughly 10 and a half million for last year, for 2018. This is unaudited.
We were about 8.4 million in 2018.
Okay, so 8.4 million, that's U.S. dollars.
U.S. dollars.
U.S. dollars, okay, 2018. And this is up from, I think, what you did about a million and change in 2017.
Exactly. We just did 1.1 million in 2017.
Okay. What's, you know, how big is the potential for this? Like, what do you think you could be doing? Let's say if you're just in California, you know, a year out, you know, what's your projection for next year?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And one of the things at Plus that we're spending a lot of time thinking about and actually being an advocate for is regulation by the state, because the estimates for the actual numbers for the cannabis market last year in California were about $2.5 billion. But the estimate for the illegal cannabis market in California was around $8 billion. Meaning that there is a lot of revenue that is happening outside of the legal channels. And the major growth is when the regulators are going to step in and actually start forcing people to buy things through the legal channels. Whether they start doing that in Q2 or Q3, Q4 this year, early next year, we don't know. We are a voice in both the national and state regulatory agencies trying to help them figure out how to do this correctly, because of course it's better for consumers when things are happening through regulated channels. And that's going to be the major lever for our growth. And of course, overnight, that's a tripling of revenue if and when it happens for companies like us. So we don't know when that's happening, which is why we generally don't give projections, but we're keeping a keen eye on the regulators to sort of watch, because it's going to be a big indicator for all the California companies.
But, you know, I kind of, you know, to me, it seems like, you know, the market for your product is more of a, it's not so much, you're not really competing with, the smokable product. I mean, this is like a totally different, you know, you're not really competing, you know, this is a different, you know, it's a sort of a branded product. It's a edible.
Yeah.
So
it's a different. It's a different type of product. So in markets that have gone recreational, so Colorado, Washington, and been that way for a while, what tends to happen is edibles creep up and up in their market share, starting at around 8 to 10%, going to around 20% within the first few years. That happened in both of those states. We'd expect it to happen the same in California. In California, edibles are estimated to be around 13% of the market right now, which means, and they're growing, and so they're expected to continue to grow and grow as people get more familiar with cannabis and really move away from smoking. The biggest, you know, one of the most important things for people to understand about California is there are only 350-ish licensed shops actually operating here in California, with about 800 unlicensed ones. And so that's going to, and of course, a company like us, we only sell in the licensed shops. And so that's going to be a big lever for us this year.
Okay, so there's a lot of upside in this. Now, what you know, you raised a bunch of money in your IPO. So how much do you have in the bank right now, and you know, how will you be deploying this capital over the next 12 months?
Yeah, so we raised money in a few financing rounds last year, and then raised money in our IPO. We ended the year with about $11 million US in the bank. And then we recently completed a $25 million Canadian convertible debt financing as well in February, which gives us a significant amount of capital to actually deploy to open other jurisdictions, to bring new products to market here in California, and to make sure that we are a top branded product, not just in California, but in across the country and the world. I think that any company who's branded product focused that is not aiming to do that is not going to be successful. I think the hard part is, how do you actually make sure that your branded products are going to win in every market? Because it's great to be early and it's great to be first, but if your products are significantly worse than the people who come in a couple months behind you, you just get squeezed out. And that's why a lot of companies that have tried to come from Colorado or Washington and entered California, they have really just fallen flat, and they're not players on the state level because their product quality wasn't there. So a lot of our investments are going to be in the machinery and the people, and we feel well-financed to actually accomplish these goals. And I actually grew up in Silicon Valley, and one of the interesting or concepts that we talk about a lot in Silicon Valley is, does your company have enough cash in the bank to reach what we call the inflection point? That's going from cash flow negative to cash flow positive. We're cash flow negative right now as a company, but with the cash that we have in the bank, we feel confidently that we could, if the market were to continue to grow in the way that it's going and things go according to the plans that we have, we would be sufficient to actually become cash flow positive where we are. Now that leads to every future discussion around financings or any other capital to deploy. Starts from a concept of, do you need the money or not? And I think we're in a very interesting point in our company where we feel very secure where we are. But of course, I don't think in the cannabis industry there's a CEO who doesn't see opportunity ahead of them.
So at what point, you know, will you become cash flow positive?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it this year. As we make investments to bring new states online and jurisdictions, meaning other countries potentially as well, I'd expect us to be making investments that make us cash flow negative. A target for us is sometime next year or the year after, depending how quickly the market moves. One thing we've been wowed by in the cannabis industry was about a year and a half ago, we put together a plan of what we expected over the next 5 years, a strategic action plan of what we were going to do with the company. And everything that we wanted to do, and for example, being the largest edibles manufacturer in California with the top selling products. We expected, and our goal was to accomplish that goal by the middle of 2019. We ended up accomplishing it in Q3 of 2018. So everything in the cannabis industry has moved faster than we expected. So I like to say the path is clear. The timing is, a lot of it's determined by the market, how quickly it continues to grow.
Okay. Jake, can you, tell us about your background and also some of the other, key members of the team.
Sure. So I started my career at Facebook and then at Kleiner Perkins-backed payment company in San Francisco called Gumroad. I'm an entrepreneur at heart who came into this industry from the payment side. At both companies, I was working in trying to make sure that credit cards worked across the world. And what's interesting about cannabis is that it is legal at the state level in the U.S., but it is illegal at the federal level, meaning banking is a real issue. And I actually started in the industry taking a look at the banking and auditing side for a local Denver bank. And while doing that, I saw an opportunity when the market shifted from medical to recreational. In the first couple months that people were coming in and they were buying edibles, and they really hadn't done that before. And the people who were making edibles really didn't know what a food factory is, how it's supposed to operate and what it looks like. There's a significant difference between making products out of a commercial kitchen and making products out of a large food factory. My uncle used to be the CEO of a $100 million contract manufacturing plant in Austin, Minnesota, that made frozen California Pizza Kitchen pizzas and Stouffer's mac and cheese and all the stuff in the U.S. that gets in nice and healthy size. And so we knew what it was supposed to look like. And I found a co-founder who was a sous chef at two Michelin star restaurants. And he is the genius behind all of our creations. And the two of us started Plus with a gum product.
So he's responsible for the taste.
Exactly. He's the taste and the science and okay. The marrying of all the different glucose chains with the cannabinoid profiles to make sure that the things go together and absorb the right way in your body, because there's a lot of biology that actually goes on here.
So, he was from a Michelin 2-star restaurant. That's pretty impressive.
As, 2 1-star Michelin restaurants. He likes to confuse people.
Oh, okay, 1-star. Sure. Still, 1-star is pretty good.
Know. Yeah, he's a great chef, and more importantly, he's a really accomplished chemist as well. I used to do research. I was at Brown University in the East Coast, and I had a grant to do research with some of the best neurochemists in the world. And I can tell you that my co-founder is a better organic chemist than probably most of those people I worked with. But he has a business degree, so go figure that one out. He's just a great chef.
So sounds like you have a good team there. Now, what's your vision for the company over the next 2-3 years?
I think any branded product company that's not focusing on being the number one branded product company in multiple jurisdictions is sort of setting themselves up for failure. We think that company is going to need to be independent. If you are a brand that's created and owned by either a multi-state operator or in Canada, a licensed producer, it's really hard to get your products onto other shelves. And so as an independent company, we think there's an opportunity to actually create the Coca-Cola of cannabis, a company that has a few products that customers love and repeat purchase, and they come back and buy the same thing. Our goal is to be that company. A lot of our growth is actually going to be determined by the greater market growth, because the agility and speed with which you need to move, a lot of it's determined by regulatory changes. So we'll be monitoring that quickly and trying to continue to stay at the top.
And so I think you said you want to be the Coca-Cola of cannabis.
Exactly. And how do you actually do that is the next question. What do you even focus on? And to us, one of the most important metrics, and this is a key consumer product good metric, but not one that many people talk about in cannabis, is repeat purchases. 70% of our revenue in December was from people who had bought one of our products before. Meaning they bought it before, they're coming back, they're buying it again. That means two things. One, we have an opportunity for a lot of new customers who we can drive in. 70% of it is repeat. But most importantly, we have real product love. You don't really have a brand as a company when you have great packaging. You don't have a brand when you have great shelf placement. You have a brand when someone goes to a store and they say, hey, I'd like to buy a Plus product. And the company and the store says, oh, sorry, we don't have that. Bruce says, that's great. I'm going to go down the street and buy it because I have a shelf in my home that carries Plus products, and I want to make sure it has Plus products on it. And that companies like Coke have actually done that. If you go to a store and you say, I'd like a Coke, they ask you, would you like a Pepsi? And a lot of people say no. And it takes years, and it takes time, and it takes a lot of research and really dialing in the production to do that. And that's what we focused on at Plus. And we think we're starting down the path of that.
Okay, so 70% of your revenues was repeat customers.
Yes, or 70% of the retail sales of our product are from customers going back to those stores and buying it again.
Okay, 70% of retail. Okay, so how do you have numbers on like how often do people how often do they purchase your product?
We do, and it varies widely. The average repeat purchase rate is about 2 weeks.
Okay.
Which was faster than we had thought, but it turns out that because our units have about 20 units in them, so if you'd expect if people take one or two, 14 days would be a pretty quick turnaround. But many people are sharing them with each other, we found actually in our research. There are some people who are walking in dispensaries and buying 5 to 10 units a week, and that's a little bit scary to us because I think this is a new industry and there are a lot of great benefits, it seems, of cannabis. But I think one thing that many CEOs and companies aren't talking enough about is that there's a lot of unknowns as well, and everything needs to be done in moderation. I'd say we're one of the brands that is really focused on not just delivering a short-term excitement to the customer, but something that they can rely on and become part of their everyday life.
And what is the product sell for, the tin of What does that go for at retail?
So at retail, it's anywhere from $15 to $20, and it has 20 units of gummies. So each gummy is a unit that has about 5 milligrams of THC, depending on the product. Some of them have 4.5 milligrams and some CBD as well. That means that it's about $1 per unit. And when you compare that to beer, that's a very great, comparison. In terms of the cost to the end consumer for something that doesn't have a lot of calories, and doesn't have to be refrigerated as well.
Okay, so it's $1 a unit, and I'm gonna call these candies. You call it, you got gummies. Let's call it gummies. They're gummies
Gummies,
technically. Okay, gummies. What are your margins like on this?
yeah. Yeah, so our margins have been stepping up. So our cost of goods sold and margin numbers in Q3 of last year were around 15%. We'd expect them to they're going to go up. We expect they go up this quarter, the latest quarter, which is Q4 reporting. We expect them to climb up over time. Long term, the margins in the consumer product goods space tend to be in the 40 to 60% range, and we'd expect them to be the same in this industry as things continue to shake out. There's a odd dynamic happening here in California where, because of the illegal market, about 40% of the landed cost at retail is actually taxes. And so competing with the illegal market really suppresses margins for anybody who's operating here in California in the short term. Over time, that's going to be a big lever again for us to actually increase those margins.
Okay, so your goal is to get to 40 to 60% margins.
Exactly. And
Okay.
that, a lot of that comes with scale. Our biggest cost by far is labor. Our second biggest cost is packaging. Cannabis is actually third, which just gives you a sense of how, as we've scaled up, how many people we've had to hire ahead of, because machinery takes time to install, and the big opportunities and levers we have to pull there over the next year, which is why we raised some money.
Okay, and how in terms of pricing, how your pricing, how is it? Are you a premium product? Is it sort of is it competitive with other gummy type edibles? How are you
So our
positioned in
company's name
pricing?
is yeah, our company's name is Plus, and we have always focused on what we call being mid-market plus. So we want to be an average price product, but above the average, because we believe that great brands drive strong brand premium. We have not changed our prices in the last 14 months, which tells you that we have very consistent prices. And one of the reasons why we've done that is everything about brands needs to be consistent for both customers and dispensaries and people to actually fall in love with them and understand them. That's why we've targeted the 40 to 60% range, knowing where, with automation and with scale, we can go, because it turns out the customer doesn't care whether it was made by hand or by a machine, as long as it tastes the same, and works the same. And so we think that great companies are going to focus on that mid-market premium price range, or what we call the Sam Adams, because it's sort of crafty and it charges a little bit of an extra premium over Budweiser, but it's still not, a boutique premium product.
Okay, so Jake, my last question is, in your opinion, what are the top three reasons investors should consider buying your stock today?
So what separates Plus from a lot of the cannabis companies is that this is the only industry in the world where a dollar of revenue is considered a dollar of revenue across different categories. The comp tables in this industry lump together farmers, retail product companies, or sorry, consumer packaged goods, and retail dispensaries, and people who are trying to do all three, all in the same comp table. And the multiples in those type of companies outside of cannabis are very different. Farmers tend to sell for less than one times revenue. Retailers, lucky if you get two times. Consumer packaged goods in growing industries tend to exit for 5 to 10 times revenues. And we think that that's a change that is going to start to happen in the public markets over the next year or two, as people, more and more companies start to go public, and people understand the difference between branded product companies who are focused on those things and the command and the premium customer command they have versus companies that are focused on the other things in the industry. So I think that's the major difference in Plus. The big differences in terms of our opportunities, both internationally and here in the States, because we're the largest one in the largest market in the world, putting us in a really unique position to actually become a company that is a Coca-Cola of cannabis, because we are already doing it today. There's a lot of companies focused on vision, and a few companies are actually showing through the things they're able to accomplish that they have the ability to actually execute. And I think that's the second major difference of Plus. The third thing that I think is really important to understand about Plus is that we understand how to make really great products. Most of the best consumer packaged good companies have been led by entrepreneur founders, people who have a clear product vision, whether that's in technology products, food products, makeup products. There aren't that many companies in cannabis who are actually led by product people. I think that's a really differentiator at Plus, because if you meet our team, whether it's me or my co-founders, or anybody around our company, we are always constantly laser focused on delivering the best products to consumers, and it leads to a product in the market that actually differentiates us. So those are the three things I think are most important to know about Plus.
Well, Jake, on that note, I want to thank you for your time, and we look forward to hearing more from Plus in the coming months.
Thanks so much.